Welcome, listeners, to another podcast of Peter Hill Explains. This time I'm going to deal with a question from one of my listeners as to whether the device that I use, which is numbering the ancient philosophers from 0 to around 47 for the first 1,000 years of history, that device that I use, is that something that I've read from a book and just putting forward, or is that something new? So we'll just go over it again. So I number the philosophers from around 600 BC to 400 AD, one after the other, the major ones, as a general guide. And the question is that a device that I've brought forward, or is it something from a book? It's quite reasonable to ask that. So the simple answer to that is yes, it's a device that I have looked at producing. Now what I want to, and so I've decided to do that. Now what I'll do in this podcast is explain the thinking of what the device is and why I use it. So the device of, you've got a fairly complicated terrain of, say, hundreds, thousands of different individuals in different situations going along, and you want to cut a path through that terrain. So this, you probably do very much the same thing if you're going on holiday to a foreign country. And in that case, you'll get an itinerary from day 1 to day 30, if it's a 30-day vacation, and you'll plan your itinerary through that part, and so you have a sort of a pre-narrative in your head, and a narrative that you're going along, and you fit the narrative of your experience into that preset narrative, your day 1 to day 30, and you will probably set aside some time in that to rest, some time to get some communication, probably some places to pick up supplies that you've sort of mailed from home to particular spots, or organised to meet friends at certain days, say like day 25 of a tour. So the idea of having something complex and you overlaying a number line is something that you probably have experience. One of the things is that if you've had one holiday, you get, and then a second, you have the same holidays or holiday, a month's holiday a year, and you do the same thing, you start to plan ahead, knowing, oh, I'm going to a country, I'll start my itinerary. So this is a more or less an itinerary through the ancient world. Now, the, I suppose, bigger point is that what are you allowed to do? Are you allowed to take a deliberate intrusion into a field of knowledge? That is, should you stick strictly to what the books and everyone agrees, or should you take an independent view and start to actually play around and do some basic engineering? So if you would like, this is like cutting a path through that period of history, and it's something that, say, a lay person or someone who's trying to get heard in a group probably wouldn't do, because they'd be easily spoken down. And this is probably the advantage of podcasting. You can actually just share with people your actual technique or method of thinking. So this is basically a sort of a research intrusion into a field of knowledge. And you've got to be sensible that you can make mistakes and there are limitations to it. But in research, you'll often come up with a new area of knowledge, have a question you want to ask, and the knowledge is not arranged to a structure that you like, and you have to start experimenting with these intrusions. Now, the general process is that you will see some value in an intrusion and include that intrusion or method of thinking in a discovery of something valuable. Now, this is the method that things get acknowledged, but it doesn't, it sort of says how things develop and get a tick off. But if you're at the start trying to work your way through, You've got to experiment. So this is very much an experimental intrusion that you pick up. And similar to going on a holiday many times, you start to pick up the habit and knowing ahead of time that this is a good strategy to go, makes it accessible. So it's a way of making something very accessible to readers. You can say that Aristotle, for instance, who is a philosopher, fairly, or perhaps the most important philosopher in the era, he's number 23 of my 47 philosophers, and he occurred early in the period. So you get a whole lot of information across really quickly by using this number line. It's sort of like saying, on day two of my tour overseas, and you'd say, oh, well, you've just landed. There's a lot of other ideas that you can put in. So it's day two. It's very early. You're just getting to know the place. There are things to do there. So that narrative is something that you can communicate to people, and they can know a sort of a meta structure to put in. Again, when you select a particular structure, you'll know that, say, for instance, I can use my travel agent and I can explain what's happening and send people my itinerary, and I may be delayed by 3 days, and so I just move my holiday forward 3 days. There's all sorts of things that you can do like that. Now, with a timeline, a natural timeline, it's ripe for putting in to an app. I think it's by Knightley Corporation. So just in Google, Excel or Google Forms, not Google Forms, it's Google Spreadsheets. You can actually spreadsheet the timeline, the photographs, some information about these people, and it will produce a beautiful app. So you go to a website, this website, program into this website, a reference to your Google spreadsheet, and it will produce an app on your mobile phone which allows you to flick forward. So knowing that you can use this ahead, you can actually say, well, I want to go on this line of thinking because I know in future that I'll be able to use this software if necessary. And this is from experience that I've used this software in a quite detailed method to actually start to unpick some information that people would say, because they don't have this intrusive or intruding into theory or history idea, they probably don't go down this path. But having this basic tool, you can bring these tools together. So there's a basic benefit of being able to communicate to people, but there's also a benefit of being able to build fairly complex tools in timelines. Now, one of the aspects of these timelines, is that you can create three or four or as many timelines as you want, which run coherently, concurrently here. Now, obviously, when you're first communicating with someone, you don't want to talk about the concurrent streams of it. You're talking about philosophers, you instantly start to introduce basic schools or types of philosopher. And this is, I suppose, more cutting across this. You look at how schools of thought are locked together and where they're going and how they're evolving. But where it really comes into a fore is where you're looking at a fairly complex genesis of ideas in the Dark Ages. And for this, I built a timeline which looked at popes through the 8th century. And there's some interesting popes here. They were all killing each other and doing amazing things. There's one of my favourite popes is the Anastasia. I can't pronounce his name correctly. He's a librarian pope. He's actually an anti-pope. Really beautiful to see. There's another pope in that era who appointed some emperors of the Holy Roman Empire. And this was not liked, so they dug him up and held a trial in which he confessed as a dead body to making mistakes, and they said, oh, okay, we can change all these ideas. But getting back into it, there's several threads that I looked at, timelines, concurrent timelines, the timeline of the popes, the timeline of the patriarchs. So this is the Eastern Church in Constantinople. And another thread that I decided is princesses or female people, because, or female actors in that era, because they provided a very useful insight into understanding the era. And so it produced an app with these three things running concurrently. And you might say, well, what is the value of that? Well, the story is that you come across, in science, the origin of the idea of mass. We have matter, which has got an origin with Aristotle and a very descriptive envelope of describing what's inside of the boundary of an object. And then you've got mass, which is a single number. And the origin of mass, people glibly say, is from Newton. But if you study deep enough and you read Newton and you read his original work, Principalia, and read it in Latin, and I must admit I'm not very good at reading Latin. I struggle a bit going through, and fortunately you can actually just put in Latin into Google and it translates it back into rather crude English. That's enough to get through. So as you read it and read some other references, you realise that Newton struggled with the definition of mass and said, or referenced it back to this chap who was trying to wrestle with what happened in these the period of these three interlinked timelines. He was a chap called Giles of Rome. There's a beautiful Italian name, which I obviously can't pronounce, Giles of Rome. And he came up with the mass, the idea of mass, as something which is conserved in the Holy Sacrament when bread and wine is turned into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And during this process, he had a lot of difficulty unpicking some heresies, which occurred really as a result of trying to mix Aristotelian theory and the Bible. And trying to work through, he began to propose something which was conserved, which wasn't matter, but turned out to be something as the root of something called mass. And so there is this benefit of trying to unpick things. You have to develop your tools of these timelines. And so you know, working back, you know that, oh, in future I'm going to have a timeline, and this allows me to describe or unpick this. Now, what in general happens is that if you can imagine the science as taught as a sort of a bit of a theatre set, and you walk up to a historical fact, like, say, Newton invented mass, and you tap it, you realise it's just paper thin and there's something behind it. Now, there's sort of two ways people go. People say, well, look, don't touch this. We're teaching this as a system. We've got a play on tonight. We've got a performance. Don't ask any questions with it. And these people are also people who are not happy with intrusive knowledge or intrusive tactics, where you say, well, look, I'll accept this, but I will quietly go and research this and build up strategies and methods to slowly unpick it. And so if you go through, you say, well, if Newton didn't invent this, what definitions did he use? And he used rather circular definitions and eventually went back to this guy, Giles of Rome. You can also see things that he was not interested in. It's like, he didn't actually write something ripe for a textbook. He wrote, I suppose, other things which were dealing with things that he was concerned with at the time. And so it's very easy to become bamboozled by what he said and then just I suppose, lose focus and then just go to the basic prop. So there's this overall tactics of having timelines, knowing that you'll be able to introduce commercial things or apps to help you explain things, and an overall benefit of going particularly deep. Now, of course, in this intrusion thing, it's a bit like walking away from the campsite of social thought by yourself, putting on your backpack, your swag, and going out bush with your compass and trying to actually work out what's going on. You're sort of scouting around, and you sort of develop this sort of hardy knowledge that people will perhaps make fun of you or discount what you're doing, but really that's not in your mindset. You have the mindset of a strategist and a researcher going ahead. And when you come back, you try and give people the first line of an insight which will allow them to go further forward. So part of this integrated insight is the use of podcasting, being able to communicate deeply, and then also strategies to look in at how you communicate with podcasting and communicate in general. And I'll just close by covering this point. So whereas coming into a complex area and putting a timeline as a strategy, there's also a strategy embedded in the podcast, which I'm trying to get to. There's a strategy of rehabilitation, being able to speak more coherently and continuously. But there's also the strategy of structuring the information. And it's taken a while to actually pick through observing lessons and thinking about which strategy works. So this is a sort of an internal strategy. This is where you look at the it's a bit hard to take, I suppose, an introduction. The theory of what you're trying to do, so in this case, the theory of timelines, the motivation of why you're doing it, so why I'm doing timelines, and why you'd want to do timelines. So you've got theories, and so this is the structure, the thought structure, the reason you'd want to go into the thought structure, and some enough detail to make sense of the theory. And finally, if you're actually teaching face-to-face, you want some sort of reference check to or registration that the people have understood it, and there's not other loose ends or things are connected together. So it's a bit like you do some plumbing and you switch on the, after putting everything together, that is, you get your materials together, you decide where the information is going to flow, you actually build it, and finally you turn on the water and turn on the taps and see that the water goes where you want, because you can be quite surprised. Even the best planning can go astray. So again, with this is an overview of did I get the idea of numbering philosophers in a sequence from a book? No, it's the sort of fairly astute application of a communication strategy with an eye to the future of putting it into an app, an eye to communication of making it handleable at my end and also at the end as I communicate across the internet to you, the listener. So thank you for listening for this, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.